Well, hello there. It's Jim Harrington here and
Bill Knight here.
And it's another day. Good to have you here. We promised you this on Friday. This is part two.
Dose.
That's right. Of Henry Gross's interview. Henry's an interesting guy. He had the top 10 song, Shannon, and he's a very talented songwriter, and he's been performing constantly since that song was out. He's been recording. What did he say? Some of his albums have as many as 26 songs on them?
24 to 25 songs, because he feels that if you're going to buy a CD, an album, whatever it is, he wants you to get your money's worth.
I call him a musical philosopher, too, because he really isn't Democrat or Republican. He's a thinker, and he's been doing a lot of thinking, and he has a lot of things to say.
But he's a true American, I would say that.
So, sit back, relax, and enjoy part two of our interview with Henry Gross on It's Another Day.
My baby called me secretive and begged me pretty please to let her turn my fantasies into reality. Against my better judgment, I said I'd let her try, and she said she'd heard enough when she read my mind. The truth is not
Do you do a lot of traveling still? I mean, is this something, concerts or no?
I've done a lot in my life, but I have not, especially the last couple of years. I think I've played two or three shows in the last couple of years. And probably, three or something like that. Maybe two, I don't even remember. But I don't, three. And I don't particularly want to, I'm not a brand name.
Right.
And so, old fans that like what I do and newer fans that like my new stuff, sometimes they'll hire me to do private things where they rent a PA and they have a lot of, they'll invite 200 people and we have a good one. And those private things are great fun. But the truth is, I don't want to, I really don't want to get on planes right now with guitars and, it's traveling right now is.
It's tough.
We're heading, we're in a, show me's a papist. It's Henry. a bad time unless you are lockstepping.
Yeah. And even in good times, it's a tough thing to do, be on the road a lot. I mean, it's
difficult, especially for myself, because I'm driving, I drive in a van, I'm driving by myself. I don't have a crew. I don't have anybody working with me. So, in order for me to make any money on it, I've got to drive to Oshkosh. Then drive to Baton Rouge and drive to Memphis and drive to Ohio, and so that's the advantage of living in Nashville and in Florida, because there's a lot of places I could reach easily.
Right.
And most of the country is in that area that I can reach in 8 hours. I'd prefer to make records like what I was just playing a little bit of, and to write new songs and to be creative in the moment, rather than to relive my life either at 18 with Sha-na-na. There's films about it and there's the records there, the first album. Listen to Simone on the record. I can sing it for you. Maybe not quite as good as I did when I was young, but I stay healthy and I'd rather make records. I'd rather keep creating and be in the now.
You hit all the notes. You can still hit all the notes. A lot of people can't do that. You've kept your instrument sharp.
Well, eventually, time is the winner, but you never know. I always ask myself, because like a jackass, I write this, Shannon, please go, please go, you need to sing. It's hard to do. I'm not warmed up and I just had a power drink, but
I thought it was tough for you to do it when you were 25.
It's much easier to write a song, the waitress asks me if I'm famous. I say no, but I'm hungry. She says the eggs are cold, the toast is burnt, the bacon's mostly fat, and I say,
lucky me,
I like it like that. Nowhere to stay, I ring a doorbell. The landlord looks me up and down and says, the walls are thin, the rooms are cramped, there's no place to hang your hat. And I say, lucky me, I like it like that. 'Cause every day I play it straight, I never tempt the hand of fate. In a world of give and take, I take what's given. I find a gypsy fortune teller in a rundown shack across the tracks. She says, money isn't in the cards, hard work will break your back. And I say, lucky me, I like it like that.
And people always ask me, sing Shannon. Wait a minute. I need to sing for 20 minutes, 40, 30 minutes. Warm up.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Walk out those, and are, sing that.
Those are high notes, pal.
Yeah. You know, you got to adjust your Munsing ware, you know. We're just right. Little nothings in the universe. And fighting amongst ourselves is what we're being corralled to do. Yep. And it's, you know, it's being done deliberately. I only wish that the self-righteous virtue signaling crowd would realize that they are simply the next to be thrown into the pit.
They don't understand that.
They don't understand it because they can't follow history. You know, they think they're on a side. They're not on either. They're not on the side. There are no sides. There's only one side. There's two sides. There's everyone else and that crowd.
You know, one of my liberal friends unfriended me because I
yeah, well, they'll do that. And that's
yeah.
Small.
Oh yeah, yeah, I don't care.
I don't care if people. I have great friends that are great musicians, some of whom cannot tolerate that. And I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm totally independent my whole life. If it was up to me, it would be a
requirement. A menu.
What's the name of the menu where you pick what you want? I'm doing a menu.
Oh, it's
a la carte. Yeah. It should be, you know, your vote should be an a la carte menu. Like I say, I'm vegan, but I'm very pro Second Amendment. And so, you know, those two things are incompatible in the world we live in. And that's why I wrote this song. I'm not for everyone. You know, a little bit of me goes a long, long way. I'm a real handful, most people say.
Prize. I'm not for everyone.
a lot of the people I see, on, I watch all these shows, and there are some very smart people. And yet they, you know, I mean, most of them are very, very bright people. I mean, Tucker Carlson is an incredibly bright person. Rachel Maddow is a very bright person. I mean, she's very smart. But
yes, she is.
But she will, you know, both of them have admitted in defense that they're entertainers. And so, you know, I get it. You know, and Tucker's really doing great. And you know, there are people that love Rachel Maddow, friends of mine. You know, and I try and listen to a little bit of all of it, because at least I'll know if I think I disagree on a point, I'd like to hear. You know, I have a guy that I've been in business with, you know, for years and years and years since I'm a kid. And he sends out these things on the email, and I read them because I go through them. I don't talk politics. I don't want to get in arguments with people, but I read them. I want to know what he's thinking and why he thinks it. He's an intelligent man. I want to know why he thinks it. But if I were to give him my opinion, he would just start screaming at me. And that's, I don't
really
understand that. I don't, it's the Galileo thing every time.
I've had lifelong friends, guys I went to high school with and stuff, who are 180 degrees. We've decided, in order to maintain our relationship, we don't talk politics.
That's okay. And it's a shame, because really, really open-minded people, it's like, you know, it's like a guy who goes, I don't like pizza. Do you ever have pizza? No, but I don't like it.
Yep.
You know, and you know, and then one day, when no one's looking,
they take a slice.
He walks by the pizzeria, and he goes in there, you know, and some guy named Alfonso in Brooklyn, and they've been making the pizza there, making the sauce fresh for 90 years. He goes in there and he goes, wait a minute, I like pizza. You're talking to a vegan, you know, so I haven't had, you know, I have to have non-dairy. But I mean, it's that mindset of, you know, my mind's made up. I don't know anything about it, but my mind's made up.
We discussed his passion for his craft and his legacy.
You know, I don't make any money. I lose money for my music. What's left of my life savings, I'm literally spending on making records of the kind, you know, you just listened to. And we're getting better and better. And the thing is, that's the legacy that I want to leave behind. I don't want to leave a legacy behind of political opinion, because in the end, it's going to be irrelevant.
That's true. And
I can't even be sure. Like, you know, somebody said something great. I think it was Chris Rock. Of course, he's from Brooklyn. Brilliant. I love Chris. So he says, or I should say Mr. Rock, as I don't know him. But he said that, you know, 10 million billion people are taking Viagra. You know, and he said, nobody knows the guy who invented it. They just know Pfizer made the money from it. You know, it's like in America, we don't know who invented things. We saw Jonas Salk. You know, we don't know who made, you know, who is involved in this jab thing they're putting out. The only guy we know is Robert Malone. He's the only one willing to admit he was involved in coming up with mRNA. You know, the rest of them, that, you know, it's not like, you know, Jonas Salk telling his wife, don't tell anyone I made this max vaccine. You know, I don't want them to know. We'll all get killed. You know, it's like, if you're proud of your work, put it out there.
Yes.
Or tell us
what you got to do.
It doesn't take 75 years to tell somebody the tests you did. It takes 2 weeks. You know, it takes 2 weeks to get approval.
He sounds so much like, I know you're in Florida and in Nashville, but you haven't left your Brooklyn behind, because
you got a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with that. Oh, most of my friends in New York were from Brooklyn, you know. But
you know why John Gotti missed his dental appointment?
Why?
He forgot about it.
How do you forget about something like that?
But I grew up with that. Like, those guys were great. And the truth was, those guys, I love those guys. I still do. Because compared to the people that are supposedly better than them, they're more honest. They're willing to take a punch. Bob Dylan said, to be a good thief, you've got to be honest.
You know, there's a lot of truth in that.
And that's the problem that we're confronting. Right. And you can throw this in there, because I believe that. You know, in other words, I don't care if you steal. Most people don't care if somebody stole $10 billion. As long as you leave them alone to have their little piece of the pie with a little backyard they can grow some, you know, vegetables in, and a place to let their kids go to school and be safe. That's all. They're not going to bother you. People aren't, I don't believe most people by their nature begrudge you what you get fairly. I don't think they do. I don't think, and some people are jealous. I guess some are, some aren't, but I don't think most people would tear down the society because certain people stole money. But when you start trafficking children, and you got, you got a network on television that's mightier than thou, and half the place is full of pedophiles, I mean, you got a problem. You have an endemic problem. And the denial of that, it's like the, it's like when they didn't put the diary up on the, you know, no newspapers cover it. Well, you have a real problem. And so I'm hoping the only way that I can see to solve this is for people to own their own networks on their own that can't be taken down, that aren't working on the lines.
Whether you like them or not, that's essentially what Trump is doing right now.
Well, that's what he wants to do. And that's what a lot of billionaires are going to have to, if they want to have a future for the world, a lot of billionaires on the right, I'm not saying that they have all the answers, but in order to find the correct balance, there's going to have to be, because people are talking to themselves now. Twitter is history. Because you know, anybody that's still listening to both sides, that's still on Twitter, is a jackass. They shouldn't be there. They should be on Getter, and let Getter grow. And then when Getter gets really big, Twitter, if it's going to exist anymore, will have to allow opposite opinions. And when that happens, we've got our country back, and we may have a future. Everybody gets to speak. Even Bill Maher said that. Everyone gets to speak. Alex Jones gets to speak. You know, everyone gets to speak.
You know, a lot of people sit there are agreeing with you, agree with us, but they sit on the sidelines and they do nothing. And that is the worst person in the world to
speaking
sit there.
Out. People said, my wife said to me, I'm sorry to jump on you, but my wife, as long as I'm in this and I got somehow into this, it's too late to stop now. My wife says to me, who are you going to convince with this talking? And she said, who are you going to convince? You know, no one cares what you think. Everybody has their own opinion. They're in their own bubble and they don't want to hear you. Well, I said to her, you know who I'm going to convince? You.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't convinced her on everything, but I've convinced her on a lot. And she knows more than I do about a lot of this stuff. And she listens to both sides. She listens to very intelligent people talking from the left, talking from the right. I would love to have this conversation with a smart guy from the left like James Carville. Is he still the Democrat he was? And I'm not saying, are you still the same Democratic Party you were in 1969? Or are you with the Bolsheviks now? Or the Mensheviks?
Yeah.
Or the Kulaks? Yeah. Who are you? You know, who are you with? Because nobody knows the side they're on anymore. They're shilling for Goldman Sachs. And they're the same people that sat in rooms at Columbia University are shilling for Goldman Sachs so that the lawn stays more. You know, that was the greatest thing to hear. I read someplace about a year or two ago, they were going to put low-income housing in Marin County. And the guy who was on the committee, the head of the committee against it, against bringing low-income housing, wait for this, it's worth it, in Marin County. And he said, it'll change the character of the area. You guessed it, Sean Penn. You know, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I put it to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? It's like I'm not better than anybody else, but I'm living in a neighborhood here. I got people on my street. They put the glass in the front window of your car. You know what I mean? I got guys that fix things. If a shelf falls down in here, I got to just open the door and go, "Could you?" And four guys show up with tools. I like these people. I like working people. My father's work. You know, I've worked my whole life. I don't want to just proselytize to, you know, legions of lemmings that agree with me. It doesn't, right. I'm not getting anywhere talking to people that have this of the same opinion. What I'm trying to do talking to you guys is say to you, yes, we think we know what we know, but I wouldn't bet. You know, when you talk to billionaires, which I've known several and know a couple are very wealthy people, they have an opinion and it makes sense too. And so tempering your own opinion with the good thoughts of all sides is what the future is. And that's what demonizing. We're in a demonizing culture.
People have forgotten how to listen.
Yeah, well, you're also listening. You're also dealing with people who are so certain because they live in a bubble of privilege that they've always had. And, you know, especially the legatees in Hollywood, you know, the children of, I mean, the father or the mother was great. And, you know, and then the kids have been handed these opportunities. Let me just say this, for every AJ Croce, that is a great talent because he did not, he could have gone out and done his father's tunes 30 years ago and had a huge, now he's doing a little bit of it and it's beautiful, but he's a real talent. He really plays his instrument. He knows the history of music, of R&B music, of vaudeville. You know, he knows he's a student and a talent. For every AJ Croce, there are a box full of these the children of Hollywood. I won't even name. Right. We all know. And, you know, and listening to them, it's not that I disagree with them. It's that they're boring because they don't know anything. They only know the talking points they got from MSNBC. Well, I know those talking points, and I'm willing to give you some. I mean, a lot of them, but you got to give me some. I wouldn't have a problem doing a show like this with Robert Beto O'Rourke. You know, he's Beto as much as I'm Kasteem. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, what the heck? You know what I mean? It's absurd. People deify an opinion that is going to eat their young. You know, and I think certain of those people are intelligent enough to step back at least a half an inch, which I've seen George Clooney do recently, and go, whoa, you know, but there are a lot of people who can't go, whoa, they're just marching. You know, they're marching.
That's true.
I don't think they see what's happening in the world like
they live live in luxury.
They
that
do.
They were given. And then they were given the opportunity to make more. But you know, they did it on the shoulders, not on the shoulders, in place of people who would have come up and contributed something new and different on their own. And you know, they're the connected. And it's easy to be the connected. If I wanted to be connected, all I have to do is say yes to people I know in power. You know, somebody said, it might have been George Carlin. He might have said that in 4 or 5 years, everyone in the United States of America is going to be in a band. And it's true. If I had, give me a dollar for every lawyer who's given me his daughter's country CD, as though I could do anything in country music anyway. You know, I mean, that's that tells you not to use that guy for an attorney. A guy who comes to a New York Jew, that, you know, to get a country music song placed, I don't want for my attorney.
Who's the guy in Shark Tank? Kevin O'Leary, the guy, he's the investor guy. He's on TikTok now trying to play the guitar, going, baby.
They all want to be in a band. And I've had doctors that I've seen, you know, like that have, you know, treated people in my family, and they're out playing, you know, playing writer's nights. And that's fine. Everybody should do it. It's for everyone. Music is for everyone. And it's beautiful. But don't send me your song. You don't know anything. It's like, do I go in and do surgery on your daughter? I mean, it's absurd.
So, Henry, before we leave, before we wrap this up, I have a CD I'd like to send to you, if it's okay.
No, yeah, your daughter. You know. Yeah. I heard that song. She was only the farmer's daughter. But
all the horsemen knew her, right?
I remember.
Yeah. Henry, it has been wonderful having you as a guest. And would like to do this again.
Well, you can't
with your permission.
Once you put me on air, they banish your show.
Won't banish.
No.
Matter of fact, I'm going to make sure that a couple of people know of you. I mean, the only problem they're going to have in is you know your stuff. You talk, and that's good, because I've had guests on that you got to pull teeth.
Bob Dylan said most eloquently, "And I'll know my song well before I sing it." You keep your mouth shut till you have something to say that's not half-witted. And that's the issue we're up against all the time from people we like as well as people we don't like. You know, they just talk. It's diarrhea of the jaws. And they don't think.
Yeah,
they don't take a second to think. And if you haven't done your homework, let the other guy talk.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Let him make a fool of himself.
I wouldn't say that. You definitely haven't made a fool of yourself.
No, it's been wonderful. And
you've shown me a whole new side to you, and I like the side. So, you know, it's good.
I have not said anything for years and years to stay out. And I see that other people feel entitled to say things. And it's okay. You know, in other words, it's okay for anybody else to say something, and they're fine. But Eric Clapton says something, he's out of the music business. Well, yeah. I'll stand with him because he's not saying anything about what you think. He's just saying, don't force him to be on your team. Don't force a medical procedure on people. You know, that's all they're saying. And this nonsense that it's the unvaxxed that are going to kill the vaxxed is idiotic. If anything, it's the other way around. You know, yeah. I'm not shedding, the unvaxxed are not shedding on anyone. And it seems to be very, very dangerous. As you see, about 300 athletes around the world have
collapsed,
fallen down with heart attacks, myocardia. It's very sad.
Or challenging Mother Nature. We don't think that she knows how to take care of things. And your natural immunity is going to work if you let it do what it's supposed to do.
God made people. Sorry, music business. God made people. You're not allowed to say that in music business. Only the Christian music business, and thank God for that.
Henry
Anything
Gross.
You want to say, or
if you don't know me by now.
Henry, we got to have you back. You had a lot of interesting things to say, and we appreciate you being
this.
Here.
I really did. And I think anyone that listens.
I don't
enjoy this.
They may not be original thoughts, but they're mine regardless. And like I say, there's many things that I do. I still think of myself as an old school liberal. And there are no sides because, you know, we both know that both sides are working for the same side and it's not our side.
That's right.
That's true. Isn't that the truth?
Not the people's side. And that's the problem. And that's what they're not seeing. They're going, well, you know, you got to make a choice. You're Democrat or Republican. No, I'm me. And there's a lot of me's out there. You're a me.
Only way to fix it is to put up like 30,000 low-income housing units in East Hampton. And man, this will be fixed in 5 minutes.
Well, let's do it.
Our East Hampton audience.
Sorry, but you know, no. Look, I got no people there. You know, look, it's great. But once they look out the window and see the people they love,
that's it.
They will panic.
By the way, you know, we do have listeners, believe it or not, in Russia. We saw it show up on the screen. So if you're in Russia, listen to Henry Gross music and download it on Spotify.
Please do. I really enjoy the music. You don't buy it. I put it out there. You know, I sell CDs. I make a little limited run just for people that have to have their better wave file. But I just want people to listen to the songs. It's my life's work. That's all I want. I want everybody to listen. And at this point, I'll take half the people.
Hey, God bless you, Henry Gross. And with a little bit of luck, we'll be talking to you again soon. I hope that this year is a healthy, happy year for you, sir.
And for you guys too. You guys are great. And you're beautiful. These guys are beautiful.
You're beautiful.
No, you're beautiful. I tell the mirror every morning that I'm a beautiful guy.
You're beautiful.
You know,
doesn't answer back, but
I will leave you with this. I will say, Madam, from the 2,000-year-old man, Mel Brooks, he says, you're as good looking as 9 out of 15 people I know. And he says, you're a good looking man. And Mel Brooks says, I'm not a man, I'm a woman. Very appropriate for today.
It does work.
Well, that's it, my friend.
I have a woman's swimming match to do.
There you go. Henry, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Another day's at end. Mama says she's tired again. No one can even begin to tell her. Hardly know what to say, but maybe it's better that way. If Papa were here, I'm sure he'd tell her. Thank you. Somehow she's keeping it all inside her. But finally the tears fill our eyes, and I know that somewhere tonight she knows how much we're really missing her.
Henry, we're not losing your number. We're going to call you back, okay? We're not today, but we'll call you back for another show if that's okay with you.
I don't take collect calls.
No, I won't call you collect, I promise, really. I'll have Bill pay for it.